Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. And when the markets start to go crazy and go lower, I can only turn to one man, the man who's been on Varney with me, but not with me, but saying what I've been saying for months, that this market is a house of cards that is going to collapse, and that even though we imagine that valuations are good, it's a myth, it's a mirage, and it's a house of cards. But that it's only one man who can turn to, Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alts, Circle Squared Alternatives, the best, the advisor's advisor. Jeff Sika, what's up, my brother?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing great, man. So, you know, I was reading an article in Bloomberg that you wrote. What? Tell me about the article.
Well, it was a good article that was really, that the title of the article was No Hedges, question mark, no problem for stock traders used to resilience. And, you know, the theory behind this article by Joe Scioli, which I thought was great, was to take a look at how protected investors have been. And what he came up with, and, you know, people could go to the article, obviously, to see the exact numbers, but what I was quoted to saying was that investors have become completely disengaged with the process of protecting their downside. Now, and then I went on to say that the market has been so good for so long, people don't think they need to hedge. There's an overconfident, laissez-faire attitude creeping in. That's where we're at right now. I mean, I don't think there's been a time that I've ever remembered investors to be so overconfident as they've been in the latter stages of this rally. And as a result of that, if you look at the percentages of people who actually took any steps, and what I mean by steps is that the best obvious strategy is to hedge, to sell, to sit with cash, to go into alternative investments, anything that takes you away from the traditional stock and bond market. How few people have done that. And, you know, I'll talk to people every day, and they mostly say, well, we stayed in the market because it was in the U.S., equity market because it was the only place to go. There was no other place to go. We couldn't even diversify in the bond market because yields were so low. Now, that specific characteristic of the market, of being squeezed out of one asset class into another, of having limited choice of how you're going to invest, combining that with this incredible overconfidence, this laissez-faire attitude that everything's going to work out, the Fed is going to be there, they're the safety net, they're going to catch investors. When it comes down to it, that's exactly why I've been so concerned. Because, you know, I hear a lot of bears saying that, you know, there's been a lot of worry. There's been, you know, while the market was moving up, a lot of the people who were born bearish and will born bullish and they're going to be bullish forever, that are saying that, you know, that there's been a lot of worry. There has been virtually no worry into this market until some worry lately as the market's been falling. And the way you could see that is low cash levels, minimum hedging, not significant allocations in anything outside of the U.S. equity market. And I know from working with advisors, I mean, we consult hundreds of advisors, and advisors have really taken a position that the market was going to go up forever, and they weren't talking about hedging, and they weren't, and their cash levels were lower than they should have been. I think there's a lot of good advisors who made some changes when they should have, but I think if you look at the overall advisory community, wealth managers in general, which represent a very significant percentage of investors, they've been very, very complacent with this, and that's ultimately going to lead to a bigger decline than anyone imagined.
Jeff, isn't that always the case? Every market that ends, it ends because people don't see it, and you've got economists out there, and not advisors, but money managers that are rooting and cheerleading the market up, when we know that mathematically the market cannot go up forever, just like it can't go down forever. There's going to be a time when there's going to be hell to pay, and I think that time is starting now, and there's going to be some major rallies here, and if you're not hedging or you don't take advantage of getting out of your positions here or doing something, you're making a big mistake by not learning how to compound that portfolio. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's the ignorance is bliss attitude, which you and I have talked about a lot, is so prevalent. And, you know, with every crash, with every major decline, there's always this thought in the back of my head that investors are going to learn. I think, you know, in this very low attention span investment community we're in, there, it seems like nobody really learns. It seems like the signs are flashing. The signs were flashing about China. They were flashing about the high yield market. They were, you know, that I was warning about the devaluation that happened in China. I was warning about it 3 years ago that it was going to be a lot more severe than people ever imagined. All those signs, when you started to see that much currency manipulation, when you started to see these acts of desperation by central banks to prop up their markets in Europe and in China and in Japan and in the U.S., that was an indication that something is very, very fatally flawed about the market. But yet investors ignored it. A lot of investors ignored it. That's why I wrote a Forbes blog, and I called it as have investors become like reckless rock stars. And, you know, I was referring to one guy in particular, and he's a rock star, and he keeps getting in trouble, and he keeps having people bail him out every time he gets in trouble, and then he gets in trouble again, and then people say, I can't believe he's getting in trouble. Well, why don't these people stop bailing him out all the time and maybe stop getting himself in trouble? Now, I use that analogy because that's the way investors feel. The market gets itself in trouble, and the Fed is there to bail them out. The Mario Draghi's there to bail out Europe. All that really happens is there's this psychological reinforcement that there is this invisible safety net that's going to be there to catch the market, that there's going to be, you know, that there's going to be ample time to get out of positions. But what I see is that, to me, that all just looked like desperation.
Hold that thought.
From 2011, it seemed like desperation.
Hold that thought because it's important, and I want to get to that after the break. We are with my man, my friend, my brother, Jeff Sica from Circle Squared Alternatives, CircleSquaredAlts.com. If you're in the advisory business or if you're just in the business period, go check it out. I'm telling you, this is the guy. You can catch him on Barney. He's on a lot, and he's well-known in the industry. This is the advisor's advisor who gets it, who understands it. Make sure you check out CircleSquaredAlts.com. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com or TheBubbaShow.org and check out our hedging program. I'm telling you, there's no time like now to be hedged. If you want to wait, it'll be too late, and you'll be wondering what ran over your portfolio once again. And I warn you because I've seen this. I've been doing it for 36 years, and I want everybody to understand that these problems do exist. This is The Bubba Show. We are with Jeff Sica, Circle Squared Alts. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, my man, Jeff Sica from Circle Squared Alternative, CircleSquareAlts.com. If you're in the advisory business, if you're an RIA, if you're whatever, check out his website. I'm telling you that this guy is the advisor's advisor, gets it, understands it, lives it. So tell us about the rock star and the invisible hand of the market that, you know, before you go, I just say, and I've said this on air, so I'm not saying anything I haven't said before, this market is a mirage. It is a house of cards that has no foundation. And we all know what happens when you have something with no foundation, when we continue to count on that invisible hand that you're talking about. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's unfortunate, Todd, and you and I talk about it all the time because, you know, the market having the characteristics of the challenge that the market provides for investors, and to have this, to have a market that's become this dependent on really the government, the central bank. It's been it's unfortunate because, you know, I believe in a free market, and markets are gonna are gonna do what they do and act irrational. And I think, well, if you look through history, it's the top investors in the world that are able to take advantage and position themselves to profit in whatever market they're in. But, you know, when you look at the fact that, you know, most of the conversations that we've had and others have had, and that have been throughout financial media, have had to do with what is the Fed going to do next. And, you know, even when the market was moving up, and I'm not one of these people that, you know, as bearish as I can be, and I'm bearish, and I've been bearish for a few years now, I never root for markets to go down, because I know the vast majority of people are believing the lie that every market, that the buy and hold lie, every market that goes down has to go up. But if you look at, there's one particular area that I find remarkable, and, you know, we were looking today back at commentary I did back in 2011 and 2012, and just commentary after commentary on China. And as goes China, so goes the commodities market. What the commodities market was telling us about China, was accurately predicting about China, and the fact that so much of the growth that was anticipated in U.S. multinational companies was directly associated with the growth that was anticipated in China. And, you know, if you would have paid attention to the fact that China was smoke and mirrors in so many ways. I was dealing with a company that had was in the construction industry out in China, and there was a massive amount of copper just piling up in these buildings. Just, they were warehousing copper in these buildings because they had anticipated all this growth and they weren't getting it. So, you know, they were just warehousing raw materials of all kinds because they weren't putting it to use. They weren't growing it, yet there was this belief that, you know, every Chinese citizen was going to have an iPhone that they upgraded with every upgrade, and they were going to own every device. And when all that fell apart, and the commodities market told us that there was a slowdown in China long before the stock market figured it out, investors should have looked at that. And they should have looked at that, and they should have known that there was a far, far greater economic slowdown on the horizon. So now, you know, what are investors looking at? They're waiting around, really, for two things: the Fed to do something else, and China to do something drastic. And to me, if that's what you're hanging your hat on, you're in for a very difficult time, because that is not what I would consider a justification for putting your hard-earned money into something that is completely dependent on factors which have no substance.
Well, Jeff, now let's look at this, you and me, brother. Okay, first of all, China has been warehousing cities for years. Nobody talked about it until last year, the hidden cities. Okay, they keep them on their books at full value. They then tried to go into that ridiculous circuit breaker theory and try to slow the selling down. Well, first they tried to tell them that they couldn't sell. Then they said you can't short, and now they put the circuit breakers in, closing the market a couple of times. Now, they took the circuit breakers off, which would indicate that the government of China is going to continue to buy equities because they already own 52% of that market, and they're willing to use what I call the atomic financial bomb, okay, because they're going to buy everything. But you cannot, if you're an investor and you're not working your portfolio and looking for better opportunities, the whole objective of investing is to create the endowment model and to compound that portfolio. And you can do it very simply in the equity market if you listen to a guy like Jeff who understands, or a guy like me that understands what to do in these dire circumstances when markets are changing direction because the economy sucks, Jeff. I don't know if you agree with that or not. And the jobs report that just came out was a joke. We lost year over year, we lost 3.1 million jobs. So you tell me, how good is everything around the economy?
Oh, not only is the economy bad, but we've taken all these desperate measures. See, that's what happens. You take desperate measures, and God forbid they don't work. Because that, when your desperate measures do not work, then a sense of hopelessness comes around. And, you know, one thing investors have to realize is there's a big psychology. I've always believed in the psychology of the market. I've always believed that it's important to understand the psychology of an investor and of an advisor to understand the market. And there's a psychology in the market. The market needs to always have a certain level of hope. And when you go out and you try something that's so incredibly desperate with the hopes that it's going to do what it's intended to do, in this case, stimulate the economy, create jobs, and it doesn't work, that sense of hopelessness is what brings economies and markets to their knees. So that's why I never believed that there was a reason, a sustainable reason, a substantiated reason to continue to implement drastic measures for more than a short period of time after the 2008 crash. Because if you do, and for whatever reason, the stars don't line up and it doesn't work, you just fired your biggest weapon and you just used your last opportunity. And that's where we are now. And that's why we'll have quick fixes. We'll have, you know, I had said on Stuart Varney's show that I anticipated the Fed, and I know you're very much in line with me. We've thought a lot alike. This Fed does not want to go down without a desperate fight, and I anticipate that there's going to be talk about reversing course on interest rates. And as insane as that may sound, my bet is you watch what comes out of the Fed in the next couple of weeks if this market doesn't stabilize. They're going to start talking about slowing the pace, potentially reversing. I know you've been talking about another round of QE. I mean, they will do something so unbelievably drastic, and it may help for a little while, but in the end, it's going to be disastrous. If they're smart, they're smart people, but they're desperate people who really are smart in a way that doesn't help anybody. But admit that they can't change things.
Hold, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but as far as I'm concerned, they are very smart people, but they're incompetent at the job that they're doing. In my opinion, and this is not Jeff Seeker's opinion, this is Bubba's opinion, Todd Horowitz, they have done a horrible job at managing this whole thing. They have totally ruined what could have been the most unbelievable recovery we could have ever had because they are too stubborn and they're controlled by too many private banks that are involved in what's going on in the Federal Reserve. And they are not doing the job that they were intended to do, which was in 1913. They have slowly leaned to the government, and the government is supposed to, this is supposed to be a neutral organization that has nothing to do with anybody, but they're privately owned by the likes of J.P. Morgan and guys like that, that have all the control. I am with Jeff Seeker, Seeker Wealth Management, Circle Squared Alts. You got to check him out. This is, he's my friend, but you got to watch him on Varney. You got to get on his email list because he sends out some great stuff, and he's always on it. Just did a great article in Bloomberg. He is my friend. He is my man, and him and I are both on the same page that if you're not hedging your portfolio and protecting your assets or protecting part of that word I just used, you're making a mistake. You need to get it done. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Jeff Seeker. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my friend, my man, Jeff Seeker. Now, it's not often I get to talk to him, so I got to get the most out of him when I got him. CircleSquaredAlts.com. Check it out, especially you advisors. Great advice the man has. He's got great programs. He's got a brand new hedging product he's trying to work out with everybody. Anyways, Jeff, you know, you were talking about the Fed, and I had to come up with my editorial. And I know they're smart people. They obviously got to that point in life in their job. But I say that the United States of America is a business like any other business, and they are trying to run this business on a theory. Now, whether you agree with Keynesian economics or not, again, you can find flaws in any theory, right? But if you, whether you agree with the Keynesian or not, they are not operating properly. And if any of us operated our own personal businesses or our own households like that, we would be in one of two places, bankruptcy court or jail. So how do they get away with it and continue to do well? It's true. I mean, if you, the Fed is leveraged at 77-1. They let Lehman Brothers go broke and go out of business at 38-1, and Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan stole Bear Stearns for a dollar. So tell me, how smart are they? Please explain to me how they are in the position they are and why they can't see the forest before the trees.
Well, you know, I believe there's a cultural aspect to the Fed right now that has everything to do with this general mindset that academia could solve any problem. You know, this thought that it's an offshoot of Keynesian economics, but it has to do with the government being far too powerful, and the greatest element of power is to control the money supply, and in the case especially of the U.S. where the stock market has such a prevalent role in most people's lives, to be able to control the stock market by giving almost a constant commentary about valuations, saying there's no asset bubbles. I mean, that, you know, I talk about that a lot because that just knocked me off my chair when I first heard about it, because, you know, this belief that academia could solve everything, that most of the Fed comes from academia. They have no idea what it's like to run a business. They have no clue as to what's going on, and I don't really care what their upbringing was like. It's where they've been in the last 20, 30 years of their life, where they've completely lost touch with reality, and they feel that the solution is a theory. As you said, it's a theory. There's some sort of theory, a derivative of Keynesian economics, that the government could print their way to prosperity and create this supposed wealth effect. I mean, on paper, a lot of theory looks awfully good on paper, but when you put it into practice and you see how flawed it is, then you realize that there has to be more to a solution than just a theory. So I look at it as an, you know, and I've been working with advisors through the Circle Square entity, and it's been a tremendous, tremendous asset to me, because I get to really spend time and see how advisors think and talk to them about their clients and what they're thinking about. I mean, my concern is that we get hit another time, which we will, and we get hit as hard as we did in 2008, investors are going to lose confidence. And they're going to lose confidence, and if their advisors did not take the initiative to get out of the herd mentality, those advisors are going to have a hard time making a living in the industry. And that's why when I talk to you and we talk about what's happening culturally, you know, what I tell advisors is when you're investing assets, when you're investing your client assets and ignoring everything that's going on, or just reading, you know, a couple articles every now and then, you're really making a big mistake, because nothing that you need to know is really being reported when you need to know it. What you need to know is out there and might be out there, but it's not hitting the mainstream till way after you'll need it. So I think it's exactly correct to look at the Fed and how incredibly incompetent they've been enacted, and how they're relying on an academic theory to investors are basing their future on some unproven, ludicrous, half-witted academic theory that's shown that it's failing miserably.
Well, that's exactly correct. I mean, again, I feel bad, Jeff, for the investors. Now, look, if you're 30 years old, you know, you could live through it and you don't have to sell. But again, I don't believe anybody should go through it. But, you know, there's a lot of these guys, you know, people that have money typically are a little bit older, and they can't afford to go through another downturn without somebody taking care of their portfolio. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, think about who's in the market now. I mean, you know, it used to be when I came into the business, you would get, you know, you would, your clients, or if your clients were of a certain age, you would know that they would probably not want to be in the market unless they had a certain amount of net worth. And that's really the way we were taught, because, you know, you put them in bonds. I mean, I started my career and as a bond salesman, as a municipal bond salesman, really. And, you know, there was a specific demographic of people that just wanted to be in bonds. That was their focus. Well, this Fed has starved those investors out of the bond market and pushed them into the stock market. See, what I believe is you have a significant percentage of people that are in the market that would have never been there if they weren't squeezed out of the bond market, if they weren't in a position now where, you know, the government tells us there's no inflation, and in maybe certain areas there is not inflation, there's deflation. But when you talk about cost of living, you know, I went and met with my mom and dad this week. I meet with them every Saturday. I had breakfast with them every Saturday, and we sit down and we talk about their expenses and what they're spending money on, because they need to, you know, they're concerned about their future. And no matter what, it always seems like things are getting more expensive. Their health care, you know, the basic costs that they have to absorb day to day. And, you know, they may be saving money somewhere, and then somewhere else they're spending more. So you take the average baby boomer that's aging, that maybe shouldn't be in this amount of volatility, and you throw them in this volatility because they need to be there, because after all, they need to get dividends, and they see their friends making money. Those are the people who I really, really feel for, because they probably, if they had their way, wouldn't want to be there. And that's why when everybody heads to the door at once, you're going to see a significant percentage of those people that never wanted to be there in the first place, and that's what concerns me.
Well, I would say my guess is probably 50 to 60% of the people that are invested in this market don't want to be there, which is correct. I agree with that 100%. I think that the Fed that says there's no inflation, yeah, there's no inflation if you go buy a TV set, okay, if you buy a computer. I mean, I just bought six TVs for a room for a total of $1,800, six 40-inch TVs, okay? So, yeah, when you buy, but how often do you buy those? Now, when you go out to the grocery store and buy food, okay, and gas, well, now gas is coming down. Now, this is a big question. When we come back from the break, this is what I want you to think about when we go to break here, my boy. Everybody said all last year, falling gas prices, oh, it's $1 billion a day. It's going to translate right to the retail market. We're going to make so much money. Sales are going to be great. It's going to be unbelievable. Okay. And I said, BS. I said, no way. That's wrong. That shows you that we have a weakening, slowing in economy, and that oil is not a benchmark of the market. And when oil is coming down, it's showing us that the commodity market is so depressed, which we are at 18-year lows. Part two of that question, that's why I had to give you a break to think about it, okay, is now every day they talk about oil, and when oil goes down, they say, well, the market's going down because oil goes down. And I say that maybe for the time being, they are linked, but they are not truly linked together, because we were very prosperous when oil was $9 a barrel, and now we produce all of our own oil, so we don't have those big moves based on what goes on in the Middle East. And in fact, oil a year from now is 20% higher. It was a big question. I hope you wrote it all down. I'm with my man, Jeff Sika. From you like that? That was a long-winded question. I hope you get every word of it. I want it repeated. I'm with Jeff Sika from Circle Square Adults. You can hear the caring that he has in his voice, guys. He's telling you, he's begging you to make sure that you do something. Okay? It's again, assets is about protecting them once you have them, and having them grow at the right time, and putting them in the right spaces at the right time. Not every trade is always right, but if you're protecting yourself and making sure that you are protected, you will find you'll be a much happier camper, and you won't have to suffer through these turbulent times in which, if you don't think they're coming, they're coming. The bulls are not in charge anymore. The bears are now in charge of this market, and you're going to see these vicious rallies that'll look so good, you're going to want to buy them. I'm telling you, if you're trying to do something, either hedge on those rallies or get out. Those are the opportunities, because if you go back and look at 2008, you had ample opportunity to exit if you chose. But, of course, greed always gets to everybody, and the not knowing and the fear changes the way you think. I'm telling you, Jeff's telling you, this is a time to protect. This is The Bubba Show. I'm with Jeff Sika, Circle Square Adults. We'll be right back after the break with more from my man, Jeff. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I got Jeff Sika from Circle Square Alls here. And I just gave him about a 9,000-word question on oil and the effect. So, Mr. Sika, Circle Square Alls, what do you say?
Well, your question, your in-depth question, I think, you know, what oil has told us that the global recession, the deflation, is much more widespread than we thought. How relevant is it that lower oil prices, lower gasoline prices, have not translated to more retail spending. What is the relevance of that? And this is what I believe wholeheartedly. This is my opinion. That in a normal economic environment of an economic recovery, lower oil prices would, in fact, help the consumer. They're not helping the consumer. They are not helping the consumer primarily because the economy is so weak and savings rates, wage growth, the jobs market is so dismal that it doesn't move the needle. So what does that say? It says that while retail spending should have improved, it's not. And it's not because things that normally revolve around retail spending are not improving. So to me, it's a direct indication of deflation and the extent of deflation in oil specifically, and the extent of the economic strain on the consumer as caused by the labor market and as caused by some of the other factors involved with wage growth. And what you've talked about consistently is the quality of jobs that are being created. It's not translating into anything. So that's just another placebo that doesn't work, that would have if we were in a normal economy. In a normal economy, in a growing economy, it's a good thing to have lower oil prices, but not if they're lower for reasons to do directly with that have to do directly with the fact that we're in this global deflation, an economic slowdown,
and that for sure is a problem. And again, let me ask you a question. I don't have to be right. I say the jobs suck. Okay, I say what we've added has been horrible, and we lost in the last report 162,000 manufacturing jobs. Those jobs pay real money. So I say that the guys who got laid off or didn't get jobs that didn't get created make more than all the jobs that they did create. What do you say?
I think it's exactly true. I think the jobs that have been created have not been higher paying jobs. I think I look at the participation rate, which I think is such a crucial number. The fact that there's been such a significant percentage of people that have dropped out of the workforce. I think the jobs market has never been worse. And I always like to bring things to a real life example. You talk about recent college graduates. You're talking about kids going to school, their parents breaking their backs, taking loans. Kids go to school, they got, they've piled up massive amounts of debt. They come out and I've never seen so many resumes from so many qualified candidates. And it has everything to do with the fact that the jobs are just not there. And, when you see this so-called job growth, how many people are not making what they need to make to live and are taking a second job? And how many people are trying to start businesses and not succeeding because they can't get loans? So you can't, there's nobody. That's why I get so annoyed when you see somebody from the government come out and say that things are improving. Things are getting significantly worse. I've said this since 2011, we never came out of the recession. We did not. There was this illusion that we had come out of this recession, and it was backed by these shadow economic reports. And realistically, any deflation we're seeing is just an indication of what's really there. And what's really there is recession and a recessionary environment that everybody has to pay very close attention to.
Well, I mean, listen, I've said we never came out of recession as well. As you know, you and I have talked about it. And the middle class, the Joe the Plumber, Mr. Obama, who ran his whole campaign on Joe the Plumber, somehow he forgot to unplug the drain and let the money trickle down into the middle class's hands. And of course, this is also ruining the banks. As much as I'm disappointed in the banks because they actually caused the first collapse with all their overlending, they're going to start to run in trouble here because they're not lending, so they're not getting the most use out of their capital. So, Jeff, how do you see this whole thing playing out over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months, in your opinion, and then longer term, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, there's always the wild card here is the Fed. If the Fed's gonna initiate another truly desperate act and halt the sell off, you know, that's the wild card. That's you can't. One thing I've said, I think I said it on TV, never underestimate the stupidity of the Fed. I mean, they may do something that could lead to an initial rebound. But what I think is that we're in a position now where there's not much that they could do aside from announcing another round of QE or reversing their interest rate increase, reversing course on interest rates. I mean, that's most likely what we could see. But I think the market is been exhausted from the whole process. So I believe that with every rally, we're going to get a corresponding sell off. And I think what we're going to see, especially in the first two quarters going into the third quarter, we're going to see a decline somewhere in the neighborhood of 20%. And it's going to open up a lot of eyes, and it could get a lot worse. But I think we're going to see a 20% decline. And the only reason I don't think it's going to be worse is because I think the Fed is going to reverse course on interest rates.
I don't think the Fed can help this time. I think any action the Fed takes from this point forward will be looked at as very negative, and you will see a race. I think you're going to see a race for the exits. I think that my first target, which is in line with your 20%, is 1586 in the S&P. But again, I don't like to make long-term targets. I think the first big battleground, if we get there, is the August lows, which is 1850. I think that'll be a tremendous battle. I think, as I said earlier, from a trading standpoint, you will see some vicious rallies show up in this market because, as you and I both know, bear market rallies are the most powerful. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see that because there's a lot of short positions out there. You know, traders have to make money on both sides of the trade. You'll see that when there's even the slightest indication of a rally, you'll see a lot of those shorts are going to cover. So you will see pretty substantial rallies. To me, so, you know, I was tweeting out yesterday, I really shouldn't do this as much as I do, but, or Friday, was just to tell investors to use every rally to get out of the positions they're in, or at least create a hedge, because to me, every rally is fake. It can't be trusted.
Until
we get capitulation in the market, you know, there's going to be minimal opportunity. We're not even close to that.
They're garbage and they're not good. You got to protect yourself. Listen to Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alts, Circle Squared Alternatives. Check out his website. Check him out. Watch him on Varney. Jeffrey Sika, thank you so much for being on the Bubba Show today. I appreciate you always coming on.
Thank you so much, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. We had spent the day with my friend, my man, and boy, does he tell it straight. Gives me chills up my back every time I think about it, because he's pretty much right on target and in all the right spots, and makes sure that he takes care of portfolios and makes sure people understand it. Check out BubbaTrading.com or TheBubbaShow.org and check out our hedging program. I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. You will be sorry if you don't do something. It's going to be a bumpy road at best. This is the Bubba Show. We are with Jeff Sika from Circle Square Alternatives. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, the Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Feel its way. Wanna feel its way.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.